Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday morning with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. Alhamdulillah, we talk of different destinations of the world every week, so it keeps us on the go with different interesting places of different cultures, different lifestyle, different people, everything different from what we know of when it comes to life, living, and experiences. So alhamdulillah, it is something that we look forward to. When it comes to myself also doing research on the different countries that I've been to, countries that I haven't been to, it's just amazing to note that there's so much different ideas that come to mind. There's just different experiences that I experience while doing the research. It's amazing to note that when these things are being brought in front of me and I look at different parts of the world and how people live and what people do and so on, and you tend to wonder, humanity as a whole, human beings as a whole, yet there's so much differences in every different country and every type of people and every nationality, every nation. There's just different type of going ons, I would say, in the cultures of people. And you just tend to learn these things. When you get to a country also and you learn people in the country and you see what we may find to be a norm in what we do, others may find it to be something which is taboo. Like, for example, we would pour our tea in saucers. The English would not allow that. They wouldn't like that. And then you also have the culture of burping. Some cultures have burping, which is a norm. After having a meal, they have to burp, which is a norm. Other cultures find that taboo. So lots of different types of people and cultures, and you tend to wonder, how do you make do when it comes to personal well-being, when it comes to public exposure, how people react, what people do, and what we find to be a norm, what others find to be something which is totally obscene and which you cannot do in their cultures. But that is life. That is the way people live around the world. That is what people do. We got to accept it. When we go to another country and when we visit any other place, we must not dictate to what is good for them and what is not good for them. I give a perfect example. You go to a country, and if in that country they find that for them to do certain thing is their normal way of life of doing certain things, where as a host maybe, I found this too, as a host of a particular house maybe, you'll go to this person's house, they would welcome you into their homes. Now we know once you welcome a person in the home, you got to sit with them, you got to be with them. If you are feeding them, you got to be with them all the time. You got to feed them, put the food stuff on the tables, or you know, wherever it is, on dasturkhan, whatever it may be, you do it. In some cultures, the host of the house, as soon as they welcome the guests, they come, they would sit and talk to the guests, and when it's eating time, they would put everything on the table, or whatever they put it for eating. The meals are all served, everything's on the table. The host moves away from there. The host goes away from there. The host is not present at all. They have somebody waiting on the side. If there's anything that is short, they just come and oversee. They refill. They go back. They put it on the table and they go back and stand where they were standing. But the host himself or herself will not be present while you are eating. That is their culture. For us, that may seem rude to say that the host is inviting us. We are here. We are sitting at the table. They wouldn't even come and look at us. We would find, how can you do such a thing? You need to welcome your visitors. You need to welcome your guests. You need to be sitting with them all the time. You got to be feeding them or whatever it may be. We may look at it that way. But other cultures don't look at it like that. And that is a norm for them. Now, if you force them to be there, to be present in front of you while you are eating or sitting with you while you are eating, they find that it's very, very rude. They will not do it. Their culture don't allow them to do it. And we can't force it down their throat, so we got to accept it. We can't say that person is not a good person because they haven't been at the table while we were eating and they invited us but they moved away from us. That's the way their lives are. And this is just one example. There's so many other things in cultures and in way of lives that you'd find that we got to accept. There's no option, you got to accept it that way. So that is the way we look at life in different parts of the world. And we got to accept all these things when it comes to visiting somebody else, visiting other places. You know, for example, we went to one country, not to mention, but lots of you would identify with it. And I promise you this had happened to me, but this was some time back. We ordered for the children, they wanted some chips and some sandwiches. They didn't want a full meal, a proper curried meal. So they ordered the chips and the sandwiches. The toasted cheese or whatever came through with a bowl, a plate of chips, French fries as they call it on the side. And while eating, one of the children noticed a black, something small, little black, and they looked and it was feet of a cockroach and the cockroach itself. And they looked and they called the waiter. They said, "Listen, there's a cockroach here." The manager came, they brought the manager, "Have a look, there's a cockroach." The manager looked, he picked the plate up, he took the cockroach, he throws it out, he puts the plate back onto the table and there's it. That's your chips. That's the way it is. In some countries that will be I would say, if that happened in some of the countries in the world and that had to come up and you'd find something like that, it would probably go into the press. That's what would have happened. But other countries find, it's just a small little cockroach, man. It's not an elephant in your plate. And they'll chuck it out and they'll make you eat it and you continue with it. I don't think we can eat it, but some will do and they will continue with it. That's the way it is. But anyway, be that as it may, whenever we go to any country, my advice is, I always say, learn a little about the country, learn their cultures, learn their way of life, and when that happens, at least you have some understanding of what those people are, what they want, what they like, so you don't enforce your way of life on them and expect them to do what you do at home. That is not right. So at least read about the countries. Now, in the past 1-2 weeks now, we've been hearing about Rwanda, so much about Rwanda. Now you've got the World Economic Forum in Rwanda, but we know Rwanda to be a different country. We know Rwanda to be a place of genocide and so on. But Rwanda, why would they have it in Rwanda? Now, the capital of Rwanda is Kigali. There is a population of about almost 12 million in Rwanda. Rwanda is a landlocked East African country whose green, mountainous landscape has earned it the nickname Land of a Thousand Hills. Its renowned volcanoes national park is home to mountain gorillas and golden monkeys bordering Congo and Uganda. The park encompasses about 4,600 tall Mount Karisimbi and four other forested volcanoes. Rwanda is trying to recover from the ethnic strife that culminated in government-sponsored genocide in the mid-1990s. In the genocide, an estimated 800,000 ethnic Tutsis and moderate Hutus were killed by dominant Hutu forces in 100 days. Now, that's what we remember. That's what we know about Rwanda. And that's in the back of our mind, that is Rwanda. But Rwanda is a country of destiny, it's a destination of choice. And a destination of choice which I never knew myself. I haven't been to Rwanda. I never knew what Rwanda has to offer. And Rwanda is a country which I think, according to now what I'm gathering and the information I'm putting together, it's a country which has safety and it's a unique country. To tell us more, we have somebody that just got back from Rwanda also and who's also involved very much in Rwanda, who runs a hotel, a group of hotels around the world, and they also have a hotel in Rwanda. And very, very popular. We have Karen Sibrahan. Karen, thank you very much for joining us on this Sunday morning to talk about a country which we thought was a no-go zone. And it's a country that I think, from what we gathered now in the press, that we're getting the information of, is a country to go to and a country to visit, and you will never regret. Thank you very much for joining us on this Sunday morning, Karen.
Morning, Mohammed. First of all, I've got to apologize for my voice. I got a cold. I brought it back with me from the travel in Durban in Durban. But yes, you're right. Rwanda is just one of my favorite, if not my favorite country in Africa. It is clean. Everything works. And a little thing that they have, you were talking about the burping and the host not being in the room, your handbag is not allowed to stand on the floor. When your handbag is on the floor, they bring a chair because they believe that if your bag is on the floor, you will become poor. So that's what they do. We have two properties in Rwanda. We've got the Kigali Serena Hotel right in the ambassadorial and commercial heart of the city itself. And about 3 hours away, we've got Lake Kivu Serena Hotel, which is on this beautiful lake. It's like a little seaside resort. And from there is where you go out then. From the Kivu Hotel, you go out into the Virungas where you do your gorilla trekking. You go trekking for your for the golden monkeys. And it's an experience never, ever to be forgotten. So it,
now, when it comes to Rwanda, the hotels that you've got there, now you've got one in Kigali. And Kigali is obviously, we know, it's the main city center. It's the capital of the country. And you've got a hotel in Kigali. Now, what do you offer in? You've got the one on the lake here, but the one in Kigali itself, are there many other hotels also in the surrounding vicinities?
There's quite a few new hotels coming up. There's a big conference center that's just about finished. It should open by the end of this year. And you can walk from, if you have a function at the one hotel, you're staying at the Kigali Serena Hotel, it is absolutely safe to walk, whether you walk 6 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. The hotel in Kigali itself has got 104 rooms, so it is quite a big corporate hotel with a ballroom, an auditorium, and there's so much to do when you're in Kigali. You know, you can go to, a must-see is the Genocide Museum. Of course, it gives you a whole new perspective on life. I've been there quite a few times now. Every time I leave in tears, but every time I learn something new about how we can just interact with each other. And we in our country still have a lot to learn about that. Serena Hotel.
That is something which, you know, that is something which is very important, what you just mentioned now. With us being so complacent in the way we live and the way we came through life, those that are, I'm talking of those that were born in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s would understand most. From the difficult times that we've had, and we've come through the times after the 90s where things changed, but things changed in South Africa so peacefully, there was no issues, it was a calm transition. And that, I think, we are so complacent about, because now that you're telling us of the museum as well, if you're telling us of the Genocide Museum, now you're talking of genocide in a country where you had thousands and thousands of people that were massacred for change, to change the regime of the country. Now, if that happened, that is what you're telling me that brings tears to your eyes, obviously for you to now have a look at it from the outside. But you can imagine the people from within and how their outlook in life would be now to treat people differently and to treat people better. And I think that is why they are treating people the way they're treating people, in the manner that they're doing it now, in, I would say, in a good manner. That is why they're doing it, because of the genocide, is it?
They have respect for each other. We asked, with the last trip that I was there, somebody asked our driver, so are you still Hutus and Tutsis? And he said, no, we Rwandans. We are one country. We go through the nation of Rwandans, and that's what we still need to learn.
That makes a difference in life. If it's something like that, you throw behind all different cultures, cultures you keep, but you throw behind different ethnic backgrounds, and you become one. And that makes a difference in life, where you understand one another as a human being. And I think Rwanda has come through all the difficulties, and that is why they are now one united nation.
Yes, yes. And it's just wonderful. Everybody is so friendly. Nothing is too much for them to do for you. I have never seen a sulky waiter or anybody to help you in Rwanda. They're always ready to help you. It's just a country of fabulous hills. It's green. The people are just so friendly and warm and willing to help. It's really got a very special place in my heart.
And now the hotel itself, how many rooms you say you cater for?
The Kigali Serena Hotel has got 104 yeah. rooms. We have a presidential suite, where at the moment, yeah. of course, with the Economic Forum, there was a lot of dignitaries that stayed with us. And then our other hotel out at Lake Kivu has got 72 rooms. And both okay. hotels also have a paraplegic room. So if there's somebody in a wheelchair, if there's somebody that needs assistance, that kind of room is there for them. And then of course all the good. Other things, you know, the secretarial and the business center and all of that, stunning spa, beautiful spa that's available, a state-of-the-art gym, there's a beautiful big swimming pool and free internet right through the whole property.
And what's your star rating on the hotel there, Karen?
5-star. Absolute
oh,
five-star.
Oh, it's a 5-star hotel.
Yes. Oh, yes. That is a 5-star. And then Kigali, Kivu is then between a 3- and 4-star hotel. The food okay. in Kigali is some of the best I have ever seen. Somebody sent me a note during the week. It's a new client that's been there. And he said, I have never, ever seen a breakfast spread like I've seen in Kigali.
At the hotel that you've got.
At the hotel, yes.
You offer breakfast, lunch and supper. But obviously, I presume halal is a bit of a problem there?
No, it's not. We cater for halal. It is not the full halal, but there is a certain corner that is, you know, that we reserve. Like, for instance, if there's anything pork, that's set up separately. So yes, we cater for halal.
Okay. Yes. Alright, so now with us it becomes very difficult, although it's halal, but when it comes to serving pork at the same table makes it a bit difficult for us. But
that is very difficult.
That's not left.
Yes.
Besides that, when your normal breakfast, do you have a normal English breakfast also there?
We have a normal English breakfast. We have a low calorie corner. Our chef actually bakes a bread from Coco Pops. And you know, Coco Pops, the cereal, it's really just rice. Huh? So he pounds
yes.
that up and uses that as his rising agent then. So there is this beautifully baked low-carb bread that's made of Coco Pops. And that is how at all the properties we do that. And then, of course, there's the sweet things, beautiful, beautiful sweet
yes.
things, even for breakfast.
Okay, that must be interesting. And then as far as your rooms are concerned, you have all different, normal rooms, single bed,
yes.
double beds, and so on?
Yeah, we start at the luxe rooms, and then there's superior
yeah.
rooms, there's luxury suites, and then we also have studio rooms. You know, but the studio rooms are the smaller rooms that only have a shower. They don't have the separate shower and the bath and the two basins.
Right.
It's only one basin and a shower in the bathroom.
You know, I've been to some African countries also. When it comes to the hotels, when you say four or five-star hotels, obviously when you get into the hotel, you'll see it's a five-star hotel, but the rating on the western side, you'll call it five-star. On the African continent, unfortunately, I've been to at least 2-3 5-star hotels, but the conditions within the hotel, the bathrooms, the rooms, damp, soggy, so on. You know, I found that to be, you know, for me, it's not a 5-star rating. So when it comes to saying 5-star also, you got your 5-star rating as in South African 5-star rating?
Listen, the 5-star can compete with any 5-star hotel anywhere in the world. If you think of the Michelangelo, if you think of the Mount Nelson, the Table Bay, the one and only, we up in that category when it comes to 5-star. If not
right,
better
yeah.
sometimes.
We're already up on news time. We're going to call you back after the news. I need to just discuss some. I need to know more about Kigali itself and also the whole of Rwanda, but we need more information about that, and let's see which way we can go forward, where
okay.
we can get our listeners out there. We are going to have a guest also coming in after the news, where they and I think it's Rwanda Air directly. They fly from South Africa to Rwanda.
That's
they can,
right.
We're having a guest from Rwanda Air. So we'll continue with all of
hours in, no, 3.5 hours and you're there.
That's it, yeah. So we'll discuss all that after the news.
Okay. Thanks, Mohammed.
Thank you. Okay, we'll see you after the news. Thank you. Cheers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting Program. Alhamdulillah, today we're talking Rwanda, and I was very much taken aback and surprised that whoever I spoke to during the week telling them that I'm going to be talking about Rwanda, and they're telling me, why Rwanda? What is there so much to... Why are you talking about Rwanda? What's so great about Rwanda? It's just another African country. Yes, it's another African country, but believe me, from what I gathered and from the research that I'm doing and the people that I'm talking to that's been to Rwanda, I find that Rwanda is a country like how we find the West, find South Africa to be a destination of choice. I think Rwanda is a destination of choice. It's probably one of the best countries on the African continent. It's one amongst the others, one of the best countries on the African continent. And my immediate circle, nobody's been to Rwanda. I myself also haven't been to Rwanda. Obviously, it's now on my bucket list. From what I know, from the people that I've spoken to, and what brought about the attention of Rwanda is that I've been listening to another radio station, and they've been talking so much about Rwanda because of this financial the gathering that's taking place in Rwanda. And when I looked at that, and I said, you won't just get that happening in a country if that country is a country that has got a history of genocide and it's still in the same boat. But it's obviously not in the same boat anymore. It had genocide, and it's all done and dusted, and they're looking forward. They're going front and going ahead. And it's a country which has improved from what it was to something totally different. I give you a perfect example also. And it's something which I always talk about, and we talk of Vietnam. When you talk about Vietnam, people, their eyes go big and say, previously, not now. Now that we've brought the hype up about Vietnam, people's been to Vietnam, they look at it differently. But initially, it was, how can you talk of a war-torn country like that? One of the most beautiful countries in the world. What they've achieved in 30 years since the war, 30, 35 years since the war, believe me, I think it would take some of the countries, probably including ours, about 100, 150 years to reach where they've reached. Now, when I look at Rwanda, the way Rwanda has put itself together after the genocide, it's unreal that they've come together, they've got the correct leaders, they've got the correct people to steer the country and bring it up to standard, bring it up to a destination where it's a destination that people look forward to. And that is an achievement. Now, Islam is the largest minority religion in Rwanda. It's practiced by almost 10% of the population, which is past statistics. Current, we're not so sure about. But it's almost 10% of the total population. Virtually, you get all the Muslims that are in Rwanda are Sunni Muslims. Islam was first introduced into Rwanda by Muslim traders from the east coast of Africa in the 18th century. Since its introduction, Muslims have been a minority in the territory, while Christianity introduced to Rwandans during the colonial period in the late 19th century is the largest religion in the country. For the first time in its history, Rwanda, Islam is accorded the same rights and freedoms as Christianity. So you do have total freedom of religion. Estimates show that there are equal numbers of Muslims among the Hutus and they are among what you get among the Tutsis. The estimates cannot be verified since in the wake of the genocide, as the government has since banned all discussion of ethnicity in Rwanda. And like we heard from Karen before the news, the taxi driver tells them, we are not Hutus and Tutsis, we are Rwandans. Welcome back, Karen, welcome back to the program again. Thank you very much for giving us a brief on Rwanda before the news and also telling us about your hotel in Rwanda. Thank you very much for joining us again, Karen.
It's a pleasure, Mohammed.
And we'd also like to welcome, we do have online with us, we do have a representative from Rwanda, Tembela Gladla. Tembela, thank you very much for joining us on this Sunday morning. I know it's an early Sunday morning. Sorry, yesterday when I spoke to you, though it was raining, and you said, what a weather. And look at the weather, and we said, I hope tomorrow is a great day, and look at the sunshine this morning. Thank you very much for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning, Tembela.
Good morning, Mohammed, and the listeners. Thank you for having me.
Sure, you're most welcome. And then we also have Henda Heineke. We had spoken to her previously about Malaysia. I was fortunate enough to do a trip with her. We went to Malaysia, and we had an awesome time with the hotels that were chosen, and we went to all those places. We had a very, very good time. And Henda is also involved with Rwanda, very much involved in Rwanda, and she's just got back from Rwanda, so I thought it would be so appropriate to talk to Henda as well. Henda, thank you very much for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning. I know you are not so well, also you do have an illness, but you've taken time out to talk to us about Rwanda. Henda, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Mohammed, and thank you for your time. And yes, it's always a pleasure to talk about a place or a destination where you can send your clients anytime and any time of the year. Thank you so much.
Exactly. Thank you very, very much. Thanks, Henda, for joining us. Now, briefly, Karen, we were talking about the hotel in Rwanda, the Serena Hotel. You said you've got two. Let us just recap on that. You've got the two hotels in Rwanda.
Yes, we've got the Kigali Serena Hotel, that is in the center of the city, and then we
yes.
also have Lake Kivu Serena, that is out near the resort town of Jezeni. And it's on the shores of Lake Kivu, which is the sixth largest lake in Africa. And the hotel is really situated, and it's like a sandy palm beach near the Virunga's volcanoes. Because at night, you can actually see, if it's a clear night, you can see the glow from the volcano from the hotel.
And so that must be lovely,
spectacular.
Yeah? Right. So now you do. Okay, you've got the hotels there, which obviously you're marketing. You've got a marketing office in South Africa. We'll give you a number after the towards the end of the program. But
okay.
You do have a marketing office in South Africa, which you're marketing Rwanda also from South Africa.
That's right. Serena Hotels have got 24 hotels, resorts, and lodges, and we've got a sales and marketing office in Johannesburg. So for ease
yes.
of booking, we are there, but Henda will also chat to you about other bookings and packages that she's going to put together for us.
And then also, I'm going to be talking to you about one or two other hotels in other countries, but that we're going to do after we talk to Tembela. Now, Tembela, you fly from Johannesburg to Rwanda. What's your duration? First of all, what's the duration of the flight? And secondly, how often do you fly and what's your timings like?
Sure. Good morning again, Mohammed. We fly daily out of Johannesburg. We depart Johannesburg at about 8:30 in the morning. Sorry, Mohammed?
Yeah. Daily from Johannesburg to Rwanda?
Yeah, daily. We've got a daily flight that leaves every day, departing at about 8:30 in the morning. On certain days, it departs at 7:15 in the morning. It gets to Kigali after about three and a half hours, and you're in Kigali.
Okay, so you have daily flights into Rwanda, and you're saying that's morning flights. What's your arrivals when you're coming back from Rwanda? What's your timings like?
Sure. It leaves Kigali just before 7 o'clock. Departure time is 18:45, and it gets to Johannesburg at about 10:30 in the afternoon, in the evening, I mean. On a daily basis.
So it's a 3.5-hour flight, and then also you fly directly into Kigali.
Yes, we've got quite an extensive network. We fly directly into Kigali on a daily basis, but out of Kigali also we feed into a couple of destinations, about 17 destinations, connecting Southern Africa to Eastern Africa, connecting Southern Africa to Central Africa as well as West Africa. Just to name a few destinations that we fly to in Africa, we fly to Accra, we fly to Lagos, we fly to Douala, Libreville, Brazzaville, we fly to Dar es Salaam, we fly to Kilimanjaro, Mombasa, Nairobi, Juba, and Dubai.
Okay, so if there aren't any direct flights into any of the African countries, we can go via with Rwanda Air via Kigali and go into other destinations. Sounds very interesting, because if it's a 3.5-hour flight into Kigali, you do a stopover and from there a connecting flight into other African countries. It would make it a very convenient way of traveling into Africa then. Instead of, I know of people flying from Johannesburg, going on Emirates into Dubai and coming back onto the African continent. So it will make it much easier. From Johannesburg, you go straight into Kigali and from there onward to another destination in Africa.
most definitely, Mohammed, what the airline's ethos is, it's trying to connect Africa through Kigali. Kigali has that mid-hemisphere advantage where they're right in the middle of the continent, which means they're right in the middle to connect the south with the west, the south with the east, the north with the south as well. We've got quite an ideal transit operations out of Kigali where you connect within two or an hour, you are on the next flight to either West Africa or East Africa. It also assists and improves our intra-connectivity within the continent. It's good for business. It's good for tourism. It's just good all around.
It must be very convenient for us as South Africans to do it if we're traveling onto the African continent. Now, about Rwanda itself, we've heard Karen telling us about Rwanda, and I myself have been taken aback with Rwanda. Last night we had a brief discussion about Rwanda also. You wanted to talk about something you were telling me about Rwanda itself. You want to just elaborate on what you were telling me?
Of course. Karen has mentioned quite a few things. And, you know, I've been working in the continent. I've worked in Mozambique, in Zimbabwe, Zambia, the Congo, Namibia. It was quite a surprise for me when I landed in Kigali, and immediately as you arrive at that international airport, as you pay for your visa, which is allowed on arrival, it's only $30. I was quite surprised at the efficiency and how things work. Everything just fell into place, which also gave me a lot of comfort. You tend to understand and understand the country by just those few seconds and minutes as you arrive at an airport, and that's what you find about Rwanda as a whole and the Rwandese people. As you leave the airport, the first thing that strikes you is how clean it is, and you all of a sudden feel safe. I mean, they've got close to zero crime in Rwanda, and the efficiency, the connectivity, and the friendliness of the people, and just the beauty of the place as well.
Ah, so that must be lovely. That, you know, it's something which we're hearing so much about, and it's bringing so much of interest to me also. Tembela, you've got Rwanda Air offices in Johannesburg?
Yes, we do have two offices. We've got a ticket sales office here in Johannesburg International Airport, or Tambo International Airport, and we do have a town office in Randburg. But I'll share the numbers with you later. We're also available through your local travel agency. We're very much available there.
On Rwanda, okay. So what I'll do is I've got your details. If anybody wants to contact you directly, they may contact me on my SMS line 072-786-5520, 072-786-5520. I'll put them directly onto you if there's anybody that wants any information. And Tembela, thank you very much for joining me on the Sunday morning and briefing us about your Rwanda Air. We know we're already almost out of time. We've got a few minutes left, but we will come back to you. If there's any query also, we'll come back to you. Thank you very much for joining us on the Sunday morning, Tembela.
Thank you again, Mohammed. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Bye. You're most welcome. Then we have Henda. Henda, who's just been there, who's just come back from Rwanda also. Henda, give me your take on Rwanda, because you were raving about Rwanda. When you got back, you were so excited in your phone to tell me about Rwanda. And you were like raving about it. What's so great that you rave about so much?
The first thing is with your arrival at our Tambo, when you check in at Rwanda Air, the people are so friendly. Then you start feeling welcome. And when you enter the craft, it's like everybody is so friendly. The food is excellent. And when you arrive at Rwanda Airport and the people greet you so friendly and help you so friendly, and everything is so clean, then you feel like you're in a real clean Africa country. And as they come to pick you up from the moment, from the airport, into Kigali or on the way, that's why they call it just in the recent week, the small Switzerland. Now, as you travel from the airport to Lake Kivu, the scenery is magnificent. And it's like just the gentleman just mentioned from Rwanda, it's very, very clean, and all the people are so friendly, and there's always a smile on the face. And obviously, as you arrive at your destination, the hotels, if you enter Serena, just that warm greeting and say welcome to our hotel, you feel like you on holiday. And your holiday is starting from the day that you're leaving our Tambo into Rwanda.
And Karen was telling us about the safety of
pardon?
Karen was telling us about the safety of Rwanda. And I think the safety itself is what attracts somebody to go to a destination like that. Because you obviously want to be free, you want to, at nights also you want to walk around, you want that freedom to walk around, and I think that is what would attract many, many people there.
That is correct. It's very safe, it's very clean, and all the people are so friendly that you can have a lovely, 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 just a nice getaway or a weekend away or a nice holiday. The gorillas is the main attraction, but even if you just take your 2-3 nights in Kigali and stay another 3 nights at Lake Kivu, you've got a wonderful breakaway. That's why they call it the little Switzerland from Kigali to Lake Kivu.
Okay, I've just got an SMS that came through and asking, do you need malaria injection for Rwanda?
You do not need malaria, but yes, all clients need yellow fever vaccination certificate requirements. That's very important for Rwanda, yellow fever vaccination. And you also need malaria. You must contact your doctor or your local travel clinic for that.
Now, Henda, I asked you during the week, what's the cost to fly to or to have a package done for Rwanda? What have you come up with something?
I've come up with a very nice package with the Serena hotels, because you have to stay, you have to treat yourself to stay at the Serena hotel in Kigali as well as Lake Kivu. And we've come up with a very nice special package just for your listeners traveling to, it's valid till the end of December on Rwanda Air, and it's a 5-night package including all your transfers, and it's for only 18,948 rand, and that is for 2 nights in Kigali Serena plus 3 nights at Lake Kivu Serena Hotel. And that's
and
with
tours
the
sponsors so
from the airport to Lake Kivu, and Lake Kivu back to Kigali, Kigali back to the airport again.
So they will be taken personally to the hotels and back in. And so there's no issues when you get there, everything will be sorted out for you. That will be very interesting.
And on the way, while you're driving from Kigali to Lake Kivu, the scenery is so beautiful. There's so much places of interest to do, the gorilla trekking, the mountain trekking, the hot springs, Braliva Brewery tour, the Shimpana Gorilla Sanctuary, and obviously your boat trip to on Lake Kivu. So there's so much to see and to do that you will never ever have a dull moment in Rwanda.
I can only imagine. Karen, to bring you in, we are already almost out of time. To bring you in, as far as the hotel's concerned or anything, I've got your details. If there's anybody that would like to get information from you also directly from the Serena Hotel Group in South Africa, I will pass your message on. But is there anything that you'd like to add on before we finish up?
One little thing. I'm sure everybody last year saw on the news that there was 7 lions sent to Akagera National Park in Rwanda, because for 15 years they had no lions in that park. And this week on Friday I actually heard that 3 little cubs were born. So from the South African lions, 5 females, 2 males, that was given to the Akagera Park by And Beyond and Pinda and Tembe Elephant Lodge three little babies were born. So I think that is absolutely fabulous.
Ah, that's great. That's great. And that's good of South Africa also to leave our children on that side now. That will be lovely. Huh?
Yes.
And as far as the hotel is concerned, you're booking, obviously we're going to deal with, if there's anybody who would like to go and would like to deal with Henda also, that would like to get to the Serena Hotel Group. If there's any issues or anything, definitely we will come back to you. But let us see if we can get people out to Rwanda, because I'm telling you from what I can gather, and I've got a few SMSs that's coming in, it's just briefly telling me how interesting. I never knew, here's another one, it says, I never knew Rwanda was also a destination of choice, as you always say. Is another message. Let me just open up here. It says, wow, Rwanda, wow. It's just saying like that. So it seems like no, people are not aware of what Rwanda has to offer. So let us see it as an entry point to via the Serena Group, if we can get people out to Rwanda, and from there obviously explore more. Let's see if we can get people out there then.
I'm telling you, Mohammed, once people have been there, they will be as passionate about Rwanda as I am. It is a beautiful
and
country. It is worth every minute you spend there. You just feel a great person when you come back.
And they're so passionate about their own country, Mohammed. Every single person is so passionate about their country.
I was going to ask you, Henda, you were telling me about the cleanliness that you don't even find. They have a time where everybody has to pick up papers and clean the streets.
Once a month, from top down to, from the minister right down to the smallest child that can pick up a paper, you will clean around you. And that's what, I mean, when we check in normally at our tambo, you wrap your luggage. And as we arrived in Rwanda at the airport, they say, please just take up the plastic. I was like, now why do we have to take up? It's so clean, they don't allow you, any plastic. They still use, you remember the old OK bazaars, that brown bags where they put their groceries in? They use that. They're so clean. Everything is so clean. The street is clean.
Right.
Around the house, the shops, it's just, you see the cleanness of that's the beauty of the country. Yeah.
Okay, we're already out of time. In fact, I've got to get out of the studio before they chuck me out of the studio. Thank you very, very much to Henda also. Thank you very much to Karen for joining us. And also, thank you very much to Tembela for joining us also. We will discuss Rwanda again. And let us see if we can bring people out to Rwanda. If there's anybody that would like to get more information, you may SMS me on 072-786-5520. For both the guests
Mohammed, can I just say one thing? And we had people previous that came back from Malaysia who booked through us, and we also had referrals. So, yes, they can contact us anytime.
Most welcome. Anybody wants to contact us, they can just do that. They can contact me on my SMS line. Thank you very much for both of you for joining us on this lovely Sunday morning. I really appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye. Bye. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And it was Rwanda, and I think next week we are going to be having the ambassador of Rwanda. We're going to be talking to him on air also. It's going to be a very interesting discussion, inshallah, next week. From myself, until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.